World Sport from the BBC with Andrew Hawes. Coming up in the next 10 minutes, a shaky start for the defending champion Zambia as they draw 1-1 with 10-man Ethiopia at the Africa Cup of Nations. It's the same score too for Nigeria and Burkina Faso. In the English Premier League, the new Southampton manager Maurizio Pochettino earns a point as his team draw 0-0 with Everton. And his tennis anti-doping regime up to scratch. We hear from one senior figure who has concerns.
I want to know that, you know, some of these guys are getting blood tests, you know, when they're away, whether in altitude or at their home, practicing in their base.
But first to South Africa, where Zambia have begun the defence of the Africa Cup of Nations with a 1-1 draw against Ethiopia in Nelspruit. At a goal 4 minutes into added time, and Burkina Faso a 1-1 draw with Nigeria in the day's other game. The BBC's Matthew Kenyon saw both matches.
Zambia looked shaky, Ethiopia's fans carried the day, Nigeria stumbled at the last and the Burkinabe grabbed a lifeline. It was quite a day in Nelspruit. Zambia-Ethiopia was an evenly matched, entertaining game for the first half hour, enlivened by the deafening support from the Walia's fans. But when the Ethiopian keeper Jamal was sent off on the half hour for a bad challenge on Chisumba Lungu, it looked as though the champions would carry the day, especially when Collins and Basuma put them in front on the stroke of half time with a neatly taken goal. But Ethiopia, buoyed by that wave of support, refused to be cowed, and with 25 minutes to go, skipper Adani capped off a great build up with a nicely taken strike of his own. And in truth, Ethiopia might feel they should have won the game. It was a great return for them after 31 years away from the Nations Cup. That opening 1-1 draw gave Nigeria and Burkina Faso the chance to grab a lead in the group, and the Super Eagles must have thought they'd achieved just that when, with just under 4 minutes played of added time, they were 1-0 up, thanks to Emmanuel Emenike's goal midway through the first half. They even managed to weather being down to 10 men for the last 15 minutes after F.A. Ambrose picked up a second booking. But in the remaining seconds, Alan Traore, on as a sub, pounced on Petroipa's cutback as Nigeria failed to clear, and Group C is level pegging with 2 rounds of matches to go. Friday is a big day.
Not then the most convincing start to Zambia's title defence, and their manager, Evie Renard, admitted that without keeper Kennedy Mwene saving a penalty in the first half, the result could have been worse for them.
What I know, if my goalkeeper didn't save the penalty, we were losing. And today, if I was in front of you and I've lost this game, I think I didn't have to go.
Well, Zambia and Nigeria meet next, and the Nigerian goalkeeper Victor Enyama was eager to look forward to that match after conceding such a late equaliser against the Burkinabe.
Very disappointed, you know, that we played the draw. But what can we say? It's the life, and life must go on. We must push it all the way through. We will sit back, watch the tapes, and see what we can learn from this particular tape, and look forward for the next game. We're not here to underrate any opponents. I mean, the Zambians, the champions, you know, the defending champions. So we're going to take it like another game, you know. Hopefully we get a good result.
Well, Tuesday's games include the pre-tournament favourites Ivory Coast playing their first match. That's against Togo. It's 21 years since they won the trophy. But with Didier Drogba and the Touré brothers involved, there's lots of experience at the highest level, and they're thought to have every chance of winning this time round. And midfielder Didier Zakura says they're feeling positive ahead of the match in Rustenburg.
You know, in football, everything is possible. There's always another match to play. But as players, we're always ambitious, so we always think positively, and the match is there to be won. So thinking negatively does not help. We're here to play an important competition, the Africa Cup of Nations, and every time we're favourites on paper. So it's an important match.
Well, the second game is an all-North African affair between Tunisia and Algeria. Southampton drew 0-0 at home to Everton in the one match on Monday in the English Premier League. It was the first game in charge of Southampton for the Argentinian Maurizio Pochettino, who replaced Nigel Adkins as manager late last week. The BBC's Simon Brotherton was watching.
A good performance from Southampton under their new manager. They were really impressive in the first half and could easily have been out of sight by half-time. Ricky Lambert hitting the post with a free kick and putting two-headed chances wide. Jos Højvæld also volleying a clear opportunity straight at Tim Howard. Everton played their way back into the game in the second half. Artur Boric saved from Victor Anichebe and Marouane Fellaini. Nikica Jelovic missed a great chance and Kevin Miralas shot just wide. Honours even, but a positive start for Mauricio Pochettino in his new job.
Well, here are the Argentinian's views on the game, as conveyed through his translator.
We had a very good first half. We created a lot of clear chances. Perhaps in the second half, because of the effort that we put in the first half, we suffered a bit more. We paid a little bit of a price for that. But overall, I just want to congratulate the fans and the players. The players for the work that they've done in these 3 days and the fans for the reception that we got today.
The English Football Association has asked the Manchester United manager Sir Alex Ferguson to explain why he criticised a referee's assistant following Sunday's 1-1 draw at Tottenham. Ferguson was angry. The linesman Simon Beck didn't award a penalty in the second half after Wayne Rooney had tangled with Stephen Coulker. Manchester United were leading 1-0 at that stage. He has until Thursday to clarify his comments after being contacted by the FA. Let's move on to tennis now. The first of 2 days of quarterfinals at the Australian Open. It's underway at the moment with a women's match between Lina and Agnieszka Radwanska. Let's go live to Melbourne where the BBC's tennis correspondent Jonathan Overend can bring us the latest.
Well, these two players are both in excellent form. Lina reached the final here a couple of years back and Radwanska actually hasn't lost a match so far during a brilliant start to 2013 for the Polish player, and if they're evenly matched on paper, well, they are on the court as well. After 45 minutes play, we've only completed 7 games with most games tight, and Lina is ahead 4-3 with this set back on serve. Radwanska got the early break in the third game, but Lina has pegged her back. In fact, there have been 2 breaks apiece in this set. As I say, every game close and some long extended rallies. Really impossible to pick a winner out of this at this stage. The other quarterfinal today is between Maria Sharapova and Ekaterina Makarova, and the way Sharapova has been playing, she will start a strong favourite for that one. While the men's quarters today are David Ferrer against Nicolas Almagro in an all-Spanish affair, and Novak Djokovic, the top seed, against Tomas Berdych of the Czech Republic.
Thanks to Jonathan there. Now, Lance Armstrong's doping confession remains a talking point at the Australian Open. Novak Djokovic was highly critical of the American, but the world number one also revealed it's been some time since any of his own drugs tests have included one for blood doping. It's only through blood testing that the presence of EPO and other oxygen boosters can be detected. And the former French Davis Cup captain Guy Forget believes there are drug cheats in tennis and that players should undergo a more rigorous testing regime.
Guys should be tested, you know, when it's off competition in November and December. You know, I want to know that, you know, some of these guys are getting blood tests, you know, when they're away, was in altitude or at their home, or practicing in their base, because that's when, you know, Lance Armstrong said it. That's when he was doing a lot of his doping program. So, and when I played, there were hardly no controls at all. So why wouldn't you cheat the system is there's no control? You know, when you have when you drive and you have no cameras for speeding, you know, you might as well go over the speed limit. Once you have radars, you know, every 5 miles, then you put your cruise control and you decide, you know, to slow it down. I'm sure at the moment as we speak there are some guys that are cheating. I think it's a minority probably, but that's why, you know, Roger and all the other guys are right when they say, and Andy, that, you know, we should put more money into blood tests and controls, because, you know, we should fight this any way we can.
Guy Forget on doping and tennis. Finally, in NBA basketball, the Cleveland Cavaliers doping and tennis. Finally, in NBA basketball, the Cleveland Cavaliers center Anderson Varejao will miss the rest of the season because of a blood clot in his lung. Just a reminder of our top story, there have been 2 draws today in the Africa Cup of Nations. It finished 1-1 between Zambia and Ethiopia, and the same score for Nigeria, Burkina Faso. That's the latest world sport.